Romans chapter 4, verse 13 to chapter 5, verse 11. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anybody die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
O Lord, we pray that you will show us Christ, and as that we preach the word, every heart here will recognize the supremacy of Christ, the love of God through Christ, and we will claim Christ as Saviour, Captain and King. Amen. So, as I said, last time I spoke here, I spoke about God's holiness and justice and how we as sinners needed to be cleansed of that sin. And we did talk about God's love, because God's love and God's holiness and justice go together. But tonight in chapter 5, I'm mainly going to focus on what God does for us, God's love for us, and how God saves us and sustains us and keeps us. And a bit like last time, I just want to say a little word of warning, because I've been in many churches where you go along every week and you would hear, God loves you and everything is okay. But you'd never hear the message of repentance and justice. And if we miss out that element of the message, we're not telling people the truth. We're not giving them the whole picture, and we are leading people astray. So I'm mainly going to be talking about God loves you, God loves Christians, God loves his people, and it's okay. But please keep in the back of your mind, that is only so when we acknowledge our sin and when we repent and when we come to Jesus. As we said last time, God is holy and cannot have any part of sin. And that's why Jesus died for us, to pay the price of our sin. So if we've taken that step and we have come to claim Jesus as our Saviour, we are following him as Lord, then this is where Paul has said that in chapter 3. So chapter 3 in Romans, Paul talked about we've all sinned and we deserve to be punished. He's gone through chapter 4, which Paul read part of for us there, talking about how that applied to Abraham and the promise that Abraham believed. And now in chapter 5, Paul starts with, therefore, since we have been justified. So he is addressing Christians who have repented, who have taken Jesus as Saviour, and that's the context of what we need to talk about this evening. So please don't go away thinking I'm saying everything, God loves you, everything's okay. I'm saying God loves you, everything's okay, provided we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour. And I want to look at it in sort of three headings. So I think Paul talks about there's a how, there's a why, and there's a what. So in verse 1, I'll just give you a quick headline of this. In verse 1, there's the how, we've been justified through Jesus Christ. That's the how. Then there's the why, or the when, if you like, later on. While we were still sinners, while we were powerless, Jesus died for us. And then the what part of the passage, again in verse 1, we have peace with God. So where we're going is, we go to this point of, we have peace with God and what that means, but we need to look at the how we get there, which is through being justified, and we'll look at the when and the why, which is by Jesus dying while we were still sinners. So hopefully that gives you a bit of an outline of where I'm going. I might seem to jump about a bit, but I'm kind of following that pattern of the how, the why, and the what. So in verse 1, please, Paul says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please note that Paul is not, Paul is being quite direct and quite bold here. He says, we have been justified. He doesn't say, if this, or maybe that, or perhaps this will happen. He is quite direct. We have been justified. And provided we have repented of our sin, we've acknowledged Jesus as our Saviour, then God justifies us through the work of Jesus. And as Paul puts it, it's a one-off, it's done. We have been justified. Getting slightly technical, we talk about different things. We talk about justification and we talk about sanctification. Justification happens once. When I become a Christian, God has saved me, I am justified. I am right in God's eyes because of the work of Jesus. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. I still get things wrong. I'm still weak. I still fail because that process of sanctification goes on throughout my life as God works on us all to make us conform to his model, to be more like Jesus in all that we do. But Paul says here, we have been justified. Past tense, it's done. It's finished. We are justified. And the practical effect of that, as Paul says here, we have peace with God. We have it through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's Paul is saying, we're being justified. That's the sort of the how part. We get peace with God because Jesus has died and paid for our sins. And notice the other thing there, it's justified through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on me, it doesn't depend on you. It's not a question of if you achieve this standard of being good, then you were justified. It doesn't depend on if you are Your ratio of sins to good deeds is enough. You'll be justified. No, it depends solely on Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on me being good enough for God. It doesn't depend on me having to meet certain rules, tick certain boxes. It's just because God had justified us through his work in Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 2, Paul says, through whom, talking about Jesus again, through whom we have gained access by faith. So Paul is saying the work he's talking about here, the fact that we can have peace with God, the fact that we have the joy that Paul talks about here, is entirely through the work of Jesus Christ. Not dependent on we do, nothing we've earned, but Jesus has justified us, paid the price of our sins, and therefore we can have peace with God. So that's the how part of the how, what, why. The how is we do it through the work of we achieve justification through the work of Jesus. And then there's this lovely piece Paul starts in looking at the second part of this, is sort of the when or the why does this happen. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 and then through into verse 8, Paul says this, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, while we were still powerless. So as I just said, you know, the work of justification is done by Jesus, it's not done by us. And that's a good thing, because what Paul is saying here is that we don't have the power to achieve that ourselves. We are lost, we are sinners. If there was some standard that depended on us reaching that standard to be right with God, we would never achieve it. Paul says that in Romans, in later on in Romans, we've all fallen short of God's standard. And yet, while we were still powerless, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it didn't depend on me having to achieve anything. While I was still lost in sin, while I was still helpless and weak, Christ died for me. Christ died for each of us. And that should be, I hope it is, a tremendous encouragement to us, because it tells me that it doesn't depend on me. Some Christians sometimes get into us a bit of worry. They worry, okay, I think I'm a Christian, but am I really a good enough Christian? Some Christians worry that they haven't met the grade that God sets. But it doesn't matter what we do, because Christ died for us. While we were sinners, while we were powerless, it's all about Christ's work, not ours. So I don't need to worry about whether I meet the standard or not, because Christ has met God's standard. And while I am a sinner, Christ rescues me. Yes, obviously, I need to be careful that I am living a good life and trying to follow God's teachings in the Bible and being a good witness. But I'm not struggling to achieve my salvation. We have been justified through faith, through Jesus Christ. And that's, I'll come back to that in a moment, but that's tremendous encouragement that it doesn't matter on us, it depends on Jesus. Jesus died while we were lost and couldn't rescue ourselves. Think of an illustration. Suppose there was a storm at sea and I'm lost, and I'm struggling in the water, and the waves are getting higher, and I'm not a very good swimmer anyway, but I'm in danger of drowning. Somebody on the shore throws out a rope, and I will try and grasp that rope to be pulled to safety. But that depends on how tightly I hang on to that rope. And if I'm weak and tired because I'm not a good swimmer, and I can't hold on to the rope, that rope will slip away, and I won't be saved. In contrast, imagine what happens when the rescue helicopter turns up. And the man comes down on the winch, and the man on the winch puts the harness round me, and he holds me and lifts me out of the water. Now, it's not a brilliant analogy, but it's like that. We're not depending on us hanging on to the rope to be saved, because what Paul says here is that Jesus comes down to us, and it's through Jesus' strength and Jesus holding us that we are justified. I don't need to struggle with all my strength to meet God's standards. Because God comes down to us and God holds us. And so to Christians that worry about, are they good enough for God? Don't worry. Let God hold you. And what Paul is saying here is that our salvation, our safety with God, is all dependent on Jesus and what Jesus has done. My love might grow cold. My love for Jesus might grow cold. But God's love for me doesn't. There are times when I'm not very good at holding onto that rope. But Jesus never lets go of us. We have been justified through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the how is, sorry, the what is we've been just, sorry, the why is we've been justified through, the how, the why is through Jesus Christ. And what does Paul say in verse 1 is the result of that. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just stress again, that's dependent on what Paul's been saying in the previous chapters. If we come to Jesus and we repent of our sins and we take Jesus as our Lord, then we have peace with God. Remember last time I spoke about how God is holy and just and God cannot have any part of sin. So in that situation, when I am lost in sin and God is holy, there can be no peace. God can have no peace with sin. But when Jesus comes and pays the price of my sin, and I am justified by that, then I have peace with God. Peace, which is a right relationship with God, being able to come to God and bring my prayers, being able to trust Him. That separation that was there before between God and my sin, that separation is taken away, and I can be in contact with God, be part of God's family. I have peace with God. So what Paul says is, in there in verse 1, we have been justified. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Go on to verse 2. So Paul says, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Because we have peace with God, we have access to come to God, to bring our prayers to God, to bring our cares to Him, to know His love in our life. Access, well, I guess the illustration for that this weekend has to be the Queen. Supposing you wanted to go and see the Queen. Well, you couldn't do it, could you? We couldn't just march up to Buckingham Palace and say, Queen, I want to come in and have a marmalade sandwich. But Jesus buys us access. If you know the right person, and that person could get you into Buckingham Palace to meet with the Queen, you could go and sit down with the Queen and explain that. And that's kind of what happens here. Jesus justifies us. Jesus pays the price of our sin. And therefore, Paul says in verse 2, through whom, through Jesus, we have gained access into this grace. It allows us to come into God's presence, to speak to Him, and to know the grace that He pours on us. Sin separates us from God. Jesus takes that away and gives us access to Jesus. And Paul goes on, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. It's all about God's glory. And what Paul is saying here is all the things God does for us is about glorifying Him. Everything we do should be about glorifying Jesus. The words we say tonight, the words we're reading, are about glorifying Jesus. Because Paul says, Jesus is the one that has bought us peace with God, and we glorify Him for it. And look at the other things that Paul says there that we get as a result of Jesus giving us access there. We've gained access into faith. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Klaus Jan mentioned that this morning, that idea that the Holy Spirit comes to us as a result of what Jesus has done. And Paul picks it up here in saying, God has poured out His love to us by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. All of these are things that come as a result of Jesus' work in giving us access to the grace of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord God. We get the whole God's love poured out into us. Verse 9, since we have been justified by His blood, Jesus again, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? So last time I spoke about God's wrath and on sin. But again, as we said that time, Paul says here, by Jesus' work, pouring out His love, we are saved from God's wrath. God looks at our sin and says, Jesus has covered that and welcomes us back into access to His grace. Verse 10, for if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? As we said in verses 6 and 8, Jesus, God showed his love by giving Jesus to die for us while we were lost in our sin, while we were powerless. Verse 10, while we were God's enemies, that's the state we were in before we were saved, we were God's enemies, but through Jesus' work, we are reconciled to him. So Paul pours out this list of things that we can have fellowship with God, we can have access to God, we can have access to grace because of the work of Jesus. And logical conclusion of that is, it all depends on Jesus. It's not us. It doesn't depend on what I do, it's on Jesus and his power. Because Paul is quite clear, while I was still powerless, while I was a sinner, Jesus came and rescued me, came and rescued us. And like that illustration of the man drowning in the sea, it's not about how much we hang on to it, it's about how much Jesus hangs on to us. And we know, the Bible tells us, that Jesus keeps us safe, and Jesus hangs on to us so much, he was prepared to come and die for us, for our sins. It's not a question of if we try hard enough, we will go to heaven. It's not a question of if we are good enough. It's not a question of maybe if God lets me. It's all dependent on Jesus. And Jesus is God's perfect, blessed Son. And if it depends on Jesus, it's going to happen. So what Paul is saying here, what happens? That peace, reconciliation, and God's love, that being saved from the wrath of God, that all depends on Jesus. And it comes to us through God's will. God sent Jesus to die for us, as Paul said, before we were ready. So we should be tremendously encouraged that whatever we go through, Paul talks here about sufferings and perseverance and character and hope. Whatever we go to, we know Jesus's hands are upon us. We know Jesus is holding us fast. Whatever we feel, we may have times when we feel that actually we don't feel terribly Christian. We don't feel God loves us. But Jesus holds us fast. We don't feel our love for God is very great. But Jesus holds us fast, and God loves us no matter what. No matter what we are going through, it all depends on Jesus, and Jesus is holding on to us. Once we acknowledge that we are sinners and we make a decision to live for Jesus, that's all it takes. So somebody might say to me, well, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm safe? And the Bible tells us that it's just down to Jesus. In 1 John it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not about meeting any goal. It's not about having to jump higher or run faster. It's not about having to be better than I was yesterday. It's about, do I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. I want to live my life for Jesus. And if we come to Jesus in that way, Paul says here, we will be justified. We have been justified through Jesus, and we have peace with God. I once knew somebody who was towards the end of their life, and they'd been a Christian for many, many years. And they'd known, they were sure, they knew all this stuff, they could tell you all about how you're saved and sin and repentance. They knew this, and they knew they were born again and had taken Jesus as their Lord. And in the final few weeks of their life, they suddenly doubted, and they thought, and they said to us, how do I know I'm a Christian? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. And Paul says, you are a Christian. You have been justified. If you have repented, as I said in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And that's the message Paul has here. It's not depending on me hanging on to that rope, but we are saved, and Jesus will not let us go. Some people might doubt in different ways. And different, you know, I've had people ask me different times, how do I know I'm a Christian? I can't be a Christian. God won't accept me. God won't choose me. Or perhaps people might say, I know it says repent, but I'm not sure I really repented. People say, I kind of believe in Jesus, but do I believe enough? Or somebody might say to me, well, I tried being a Christian, and I repented, and I believe what the Bible said, and I tried it for a bit, but I found I was still sinning. Maybe I'm not a Christian after all. No, Paul says we have been justified and we have peace through that. And the marvellous message is, it's not about us. It's not about, will God accept me? He will, because God accepts Jesus and we get salvation through Jesus Christ. It's not about me being accepted by God because of who I am. It's about me being accepted because of who Jesus is. It doesn't depend on me. Will God choose me? Well, God chooses the ones that take Jesus as their saviour. So Jesus is the key point there. It's not a question of God choosing us or not choosing us. If we take Jesus as our saviour and we repent of our sins, God will take us. And to somebody who said, I'm not sure I really understood repentance. Have I really repented? And almost, I think, if you're asking that question, you've answered it already. Because if you're aware of your sin, that's what it means to repent. It means saying to God, I know I'm a sinner. I know, as Paul said in Romans chapter 3, nothing I can do is good enough. But here, Paul says in Romans 5, Jesus is good enough. We have justified through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need to worry about if I've repented enough, if I've given my sin, if I've said to Jesus, I want to turn away from sin. As I said last time, we will still struggle with sin. It's not a question of, I've tried, but I still sin. I'm not good enough with that. We will still struggle with that. But Jesus is the answer. And God says here, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another wonderful hymn which I didn't choose tonight, which has these words in it. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. And I've known that, but many of us have. There are times when Satan comes to us and just burdens us with our sin, and we think, I'm really awful. I've been such a sinner. I don't deserve God's grace. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, up would I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. So when Satan gets me down and Satan makes me think, I'm not good enough. I'm a real sinner. I don't deserve this. The answer the hymn says there is we look to Jesus. Because as Paul says here in Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to worry. We don't need to worry that our sin now separates us from God, because Jesus has brought us into God's presence. Yes, we should be worrying about our sin. Yes, we should be striving to live lives better and more in Jesus' pattern. But that sin is never going to separate us again, because Jesus has made the way through. This passage should be a tremendous encouragement to us. We have been justified through faith. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, therefore we have peace with God. God's love is poured out through the Holy Spirit, as Paul says here. And so it depends on Jesus, not us. No matter how we feel, no matter whether we worry about the state of our lives, of our sin, it depends on Jesus. Jesus has paid the price of our sin. Jesus is the guarantee of our salvation, because God looks on him, looks on us, and sees that what Jesus has done to save us. And since it depends on Jesus, not on me, then it's going to be okay. As I said earlier, some churches like to preach, God loves you, and therefore it's okay. But in the context of I have made a commitment to follow Jesus, I've repented, Jesus is my Saviour, then yes, God loves me, and it's going to be okay. I can't lose that. God will not fail me. That rope will never slip, because Jesus is holding on to me. And that wonderful fact that it doesn't depend on me, doesn't depend on what I'm doing, as Paul says in verses 8, while we were still sinners, while we were powerless to do anything for ourselves, Jesus has done all that's necessary, And Jesus has made us right with God so that we have peace with God. And there's that middle section there in verses 3, 4, 5 there, where Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And Paul doesn't mince his words, because nobody ever said following Jesus was going to be easy. Nobody ever said that once we give our lives to him, once we repent, everything will be wonderful. And many people here tonight can testify, we still suffer. We still have trouble. We still have difficult times. But what Paul is saying here is that no matter how difficult it seems, no matter what we think we're going through, no matter how hard things are, Jesus is still holding on to us. No matter the difficulties, Jesus is still there with us, because we have been justified through faith in Jesus, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will never let us go. And those sufferings develop perseverance. We learn to persevere despite difficult times. The perseverance develops character. There are several passages in the New Testament that follow similar lines about how suffering builds us up. And what Paul says here is that this is for the glory of God. We hope because of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So in the difficult times, we should be able to know God's love. We should be able to feel the Holy Spirit with us, because we have been justified through peace with God. And no matter how difficult it gets, we know that Jesus is upholding us, keeping us safe, keeping us strong. And the whole tenor of this passage in Romans 5 is it's about Jesus holding us, not us holding on to Jesus. Jesus will keep us safe. Jesus will give us that peace with God and that access to God's grace. So Paul goes on the next few chapters to talk about some of the other aspects of this. And then in chapter 8, he comes to these words, as read at the start of the service. Chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, so all the pleading stuff, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we have made Jesus our Savior, nothing can harm us, nothing comes in, because we are justified, we are right with God, and therefore there is no condemnation. Further on in that chapter, Paul says this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we are following Jesus, if we have confessed our sin, and if we have made Jesus our Savior, then nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are justified through the work of Jesus. And nothing now can bar us in the way sin did. Nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.